All right. Well, welcome to week two of our missions campaign. And so this is something that we do annually every year in the spring. We take a few weeks and we focus on missions, and specifically the frontier of the gospel, trying to bring the message of Jesus to places often that have very little access to that message. And so we do this every year. However, this year, we are putting a little more energy behind it. And we're doing that because we feel like God is walking us into some pretty significant things as a church, things that we want to unite together around and apply faith to. And I think they're exciting things. And so we've been excited to take 4 weeks here and share with you those plans and invite you to join us in that faith. And so that's what's happening. Again, we're taking a little more time, where it's a longer campaign this year. We're taking each sermon and really diving into it. And so that's what's happening over these 4 weeks. Last week, we kicked that off and we just tried to provide a little bit of foundation for who we are as a church, who we want to be as a church. And then we briefly summarized some of the initiatives that we want to roll out this year. This morning, though, is an opportunity to go into a little more detail about those initiatives. And so I'm going to share more, although this isn't going to be a real typical message. I'm going to share a few thoughts, but I'm kind of going to MC this time. I'm going to have several other people that are directly involved with some of these projects. They're going to come up here, and they're going to share their heart. And so I'm just going to guide us through this morning. And if you were here with us last week, you remember that we really anchored this campaign in Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says this: "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And there are a couple key things here. One, it is the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus commissioned his disciples, shortly before he ascended into heaven, he said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And the Holy Spirit's going to give you a power to be able to be my witnesses, to be able to speak my message in different places. And then he lays out a little bit of this geographical progression. And he speaks of Jerusalem, really the local piece there, and then moves on to the regional piece, Judea and Samaria, and then the international piece, the end of the earth. And our missions campaign is really following that progression also. We have different projects that are focusing on the local, and then the regional, and then the international. And so again, I'm going to walk us through each one of those. I'm going to start by sharing just some general thoughts briefly about missions, and then I'm going to describe what we're doing locally and share a verse or two that relates to that. And then we're going to have those involved with those local initiatives share, and then we're going to do the same for the regional and then the international. So let's begin just laying a little more foundation for missions. Again, I'm going to pepper this time with the verses that I believe are critical building blocks for our understanding of missions. And the first one I want to share is this one, Romans 10:13 through 15. I think this is very, very key. Whenever we talk about missions, this is probably an important passage to review. And so let me read through it, and we're just going to go sentence by sentence. It starts like this in verse 13. It says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So we're in need of salvation. As we mentioned when we were taking communion, we are born in just a sea of sin, and we're drowning in it. And we need to be rescued. We need to be saved. But it says that when we call on the Lord, we are saved. It's like we're drowning and we reach out to him and we say, "Help." And when we call on him like that, he does help and he reaches down and he rescues. So everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But in the verses after that, Paul takes us through a little bit of a progression here. A progression of necessary steps that lead up to that moment of calling and receiving salvation. And so let's read this series of rhetorical questions. First it says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Okay, so if I'm going to cry out to God for rescue, I have to come to some sort of a belief. Yeah, I have to trust that call is just an expression of what's gone on inside of me. And so I come to this belief in my inner self, and then I call out to God, and he rescues me. So I must believe. Next question he asks, though, is how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? Okay, so there's a necessary hearing. I have to hear content. There's some message that I people. So they cannot hear without someone preaching. But then, next question, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. This is interesting too. Because there's another character or characters introduced into the process. God is over the whole process, but there's the person who gets saved. And then there's the person who speaks to that person in order for them to believe the message and get saved. But then there are people behind the person who speaks that send. And by implication, there's a church in which a person is envisioned and inspired and trained, and doors are opened for that person, and then that person is commissioned and sent. It's a necessary part of the process. And so there's a church at the beginning of this process that sends. And of course, that's what our missions campaign is all about. We are together as a church, all together. Every person is a part of this. And we're going to go into more detail about that in a couple weeks. But this is all of us together sending in order to see the end result of salvation. And so we are sending into a local culture, into a regional culture, and an international culture. And we're going to, like I said, walk through each one of those. And we'll start with the local. And we described this last week, but our local initiative this year, as it relates to missions, is simply in the hiring of these two men. We would like to bring these two men onto our staff and commission them, send them into this culture of the next generation. And so Sebastian DeCleva is we're bringing him on staff in order to have him minister to and make disciples of youth, of teenagers. And Chris Shuey, we are bringing him on staff in order to send him to make disciples of college-aged people. Okay, so we would like to bring these people on staff. Now, why is this our missions initiative for this year at the local level? Let me share a couple thoughts about that. As I said, I'm going to pepper this time with some verses that relate to our missions philosophy. These are building blocks. And here's one. This is what Jesus says to his disciples as he sends them out two by two. In Matthew 10, 12 through 14, it says, as you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Okay, so this is interesting. As he sends out his disciples, it seems that he's encouraging them to assess the receptivity of the people that they're talking to. And so they were to go to a place, and if the people were unreceptive, where it just seems like there was a hardness, that they weren't going to listen, he said, well, shake the dust off your feet and turn elsewhere, and let your peace instead go to those that seem to be open and willing. Okay, so that's an interesting little principle to add to our collection as we think about missions. Well, how does that relate to our local initiatives here? Well, if we're going to focus resources, perhaps one thing that we should have in mind is focusing them in places where there's likely to be a reception and where there can be a fruitfulness. Let me show you a chart. This is the age at which American Christians came to Christ. This is from a poll a couple years ago. And you'll see the typical ages that people experience that salvation that we were just talking about. And this is kind of striking and sobering here. Only 3% of Christians came to Christ over the age of 30. Now that reorients things a little bit. That's challenging in different ways. It's hard to know even how to think about that. Now, that doesn't mean that we ignore everybody over 30. And especially because it's not like, well, evangelism is it, and then we don't have to worry about people anymore. And there still are hundreds and thousands or millions of people represented in that 3%, and there are many in this room even. And yet, the reality is that there seems to be much more of a softness to receive Jesus for the first time in the younger ages. And of course, many receive Jesus when they're young in their own home, as young children. And Chad Schneider is actually going to talk about that a little bit next week. But then there's another group in the late teens and early adulthood where a lot can happen as well. I would fall into that category myself. Many people in this room would as well, where Jesus got a hold of them in young adulthood. And even oftentimes people that came to Christ early on in life, also in young adulthood, they really started tracking with Jesus. And so it seems appropriate. If we're talking about missions, again, if we're talking about resources, evangelistic resources, it seems appropriate to direct a lot of those resources young, which is why we would like to bring on these two men. You know, something that struck me even just recently in looking at our staff here in this church, when we look at the nons as a pretty young church and even a young staff. But that's not so much the case.
Connected with the church. I don't know if I would have connected with my faith in the same way. And so those are two things that I'm told from Travis. You hear him say it every week. He's getting too old. His knees are hurting. His back's hurting. So I'm so excited to kind of bring those two elements together, things that have been really impactful in my life, youth ministry, taking, backpacking trips and Ultimate Frisbee games, and just having and creating a space and a community where people can feel known. Excited to jump in with that in a music context. In youth group context. So, yeah, it's kind of my heart for that.
All right, thanks, Sebastian. Yeah. All right, now we're going to call Chris up here. And as I said, Chris is going to be focused more on our campus ministry.
Hi guys, so my name's Chris Shuey, and I'm gonna be just the college leader on staff. And I also really have a heart for young people, specifically college group. My sophomore year, about 2 years ago, I really started taking Christ seriously, and that was really when I was kind of like transformed by Christ. So I have a really real passion for college ministry. I just think it's so awesome. There's just so much fruit there. People are there's like a mold. People aren't molded yet. They're not set in their ways. And I really just think college is just a great time to evangelize, see people get saved, and see people just really start living for Christ more. I really want to just talk about what we're going to do in the college ministry coming up, because I'm really, really excited about what God's going to do. So we're in about a few weeks, we're going to go to Virginia for a month to get trained in four fields, which is an evangelism tool. And then we're looking to really gear up for this fall in evangelism to reach people who aren't saved, reach people who don't know the gospel. And I'm just really, really excited for that. And I'm really, really excited to see what God does through that. We're really going through a transition period in the college group. There's a lot of people who are going to be leaving the college group this year, and they're going to be graduating. And so this is going to be a really cool opportunity to welcome more people into our group. And I just can't wait to see what God's going to do through us. And I'm really, really excited for that. So yeah, that's basically what we're going to be doing in college. We're really looking to specifically reach people who aren't saved, looking to make an impact on eternity and giving people Jesus, giving people eternal life through the work, the free gift that Jesus has given us. So yeah, that's basically what we're going to be doing through college. My role will be more of what it will look like is I'll probably be on staff for a year or two. And then the goal is to disciple people, and then I'll just back off, and then people can lead the group themselves. And so that's kind of what we're going to do in the college group. I'm just really excited to see what God does. Hope you guys have a good rest of your day.
All right. There you go. Oh. No problem. There we go. We'll put it in like that. All right. Okay, so that's local. And we are excited for these two guys to come on board. I think they're going to bring a lot. And disciples of that next generation are going to be made through them. Let's move on to the regional. And as we introduced last week, our regional initiative is a church plant. At the very least, an exploration of a church plant. And we are exploring this opportunity in Severance, Colorado. So just about 20-minute drive from here, just a little east of the interstate, we would love to plant a church. And over the next few months, we're going to be putting a lot of energy in that direction and trying to scatter some of those seeds over there in Severance. You might ask, well, why? Why Severance and why now? Let me take you through a few reasons behind this decision. Number one, as I mentioned last week, the population is exploding. There are a lot of people moving into that area right now. As I said last week, it has been said that the Severance Windsor community is the fastest growing community in the nation. There are just a lot of people moving over there. There are a lot of people moving from Fort Collins there and a lot of people moving from other places. And so we've just felt like if that's happening over there, that should get our attention. And we should start considering things. How can we be a part of ministering to many of those people that are moving in? Secondly, Severance may offer a population of people who are receptive to the gospel, and we're hoping that this is true. And some of our preliminary efforts over there seem to indicate that there could be a receptivity there. I do think a relatively new community presents that. As people are moving in and they're changing their life up some, and they're open to new community and they're open to new life direction and even new ideas. And so we believe that there is an openness and Severance has a little more of a small town community feel. And I think people that are open to community and open to Jesus. Number three, although the population is growing, Severance has little church presence. And of course, there are churches within driving distance. A lot of people come over to Fort Collins or elsewhere. And yet, there is very, very little church presence in Severance. And again, in some of the preliminary conversations we've had with people over there, it seems like there's an openness to being a part of a church, but a lot of people just haven't taken that step. And there aren't many resources over there. Fourthly, we have a man willing and eager to lead this effort. That would be Roger Everhart, who we introduced last week, and we're going to hear from him in just a minute. And the proximity of Severance allows for close partnership with some of you, and so we anticipate closely partnering and sharing a lot of resources, and there would be a lot of overlap there. But Roger's really going to take the lead at spearheading that, and he's really gathering together some people to help with that. But regardless of who's a part of that team, all of us, I think, are going to be helping to support that, and we definitely can, given the proximity. And then fifthly, we may have a unique window of time in the upcoming months. I do wonder, is this a very, very unique few months, these next few months, as people emerge, as they come out of hiding, as hopefully COVID is wrapped up here. But I do believe that there's a reality there that people are eager for interaction and community, and again, willing to explore community. And so we think that there could be a unique window of time in these next few months. And so we're going to have Roger share his heart for Severance. Now, we were going to have him come up here on stage, but Roger went and got himself exposed to COVID this past week. Okay, so Roger, not the best timing. But he did record a video for us yesterday. He needs to be in quarantine for the next few days. But he recorded a video for us, and so we're going to play that from him right now.
Good morning, church. I'm Roger Eberhardt, married to Renee. We have 8 kids. Our 3 younger kids, Glory, Honor, and Micah, still live with us. We're excited to be here with you guys this morning. So let me give you just a little bit of background on us. Renee and I were both saved at real young ages. Shortly after we were married, we moved to Fort Collins to go to college at CSU. In the fall semester of 1991, we started attending Summit View. But it was the fall of 1992 that God really got a hold of our heart, and we made Summit View our church home. And we were pretty excited about this. So there was a lot of factors that went into that. One was just the amazing relationships that we formed. Also, just watching people love each other in the church. And then people just really lived out their convictions 7 days a week. And that was amazing to us. But I think the thing that grabbed us the most was the heart and vision that some of you had for planting churches. It was really fun to watch God grow a church. It was fun to, just amazing to see people redeemed. We got to see marriages redeemed, families redeemed. It was a sweet thing to be a part of and to witness. It was church like we'd never experienced before. So we were excited to give our heart to this church planting movement and be a part of planting churches. So it wasn't long after we were going to some of you that the Loveland church plant came up and they were starting to plan for that. And so we were like on board with that. We were all for that. We were going to jump in and go to Loveland. But God had different plans for us and we didn't go to Loveland. A couple years later, Greeley came up. So we were getting ready to move to Greeley. This one made a lot more sense to us, because our mentors were leading that church plant. So we were going. And so we were getting ready for that. But God also had different plans for us, and we didn't go. Other church plants came and went. Amsterdam, Salt Lake City, we still didn't go. But we still had a heart for it. In 2006, El Paso started to take shape. And God said, yes, you guys can go to El Paso. So in 2007, we loaded up, and we stormed into El Paso with great enthusiasm and zeal. That first year was amazing. It was amazing to watch the church take form and watch God do amazing things. But shortly after that, our lives got really hard. We had started a business down there, and it wasn't doing well at all. I couldn't find a steady job. And on top of that, it was no longer just Renee and I. We had 7 kids and 1 on the way. Life got really hard. For the next 8 years, God walked us through some of the toughest, but probably some of the richest times of our life. God took that time to really refine us, but he also took that time to pull us close to him. In spite of that time, I still told myself and told God that I was never going to go on another church plant. So just to say, don't ever tell God anything like that. It's just best if you keep it to yourself. But God just kept strengthening us. He kept rebuilding us. And during that time, God also rekindled our heart for planting churches. So I would constantly ask the pastors of our church, it's like, are we still part of a church planting movement? Well, if we are, then why are we not planning a new church plant? So the pastors got fed up with me, got fed up with all my questions, and decided to do a church plant and send me to Severance. That's not true. Just kidding. But the pastors did recognize that after what we went through in El Paso, that we had a tremendous heart to continue to do church planting, to be involved in church planting. And so when we were in Tucson, in January, finished up the perspectives class, I was in a prayer group, and we were just praying for our churches in the M28 Alliance movement and just asking God to do amazing things over the next few years. I specifically prayed that some of you would do a church plant in the next 3 years. Well, a couple days later, Aaron pulled all the guys together from Fort Collins that went to Tucson and said, "Hey, I really think God laid on my heart that we should do a church plant in Severance." I was like, "Wow, that was fast." So here we are. We put it before you guys. We're putting this church plant before our family. We know that not everyone will and not everyone can go to Severance, but everyone here can be a part of this church plant. Everybody that the team that forms to go to Severance is going to need a lot of support in prayer. And those that stay here in this church are going to have a lot of ministry gaps to fill. And then there's also the financial need that we have to get this church plant off the ground. But that's okay. We need everyone involved in this. And that's where God wants us, because we're one body and one family. Lastly, and probably the thing that I'm most excited about, is that my three younger kids are super excited for this. And they're super excited to see their faith in action. Glory, Honor, and Micah have all breathed all kinds of life and spirit into this ever since we have shared this with them. So that's what I have to share with you guys this morning. I just pray, I ask you guys to pray with us, just to walk with us in this. We are excited to see what God's going to do. So thanks for your time and have a great day.
Okay, so that's what we are aiming for regionally. And just to let you know, if you're interested in that and just hearing more about it, we're going to have an interest meeting next week. Originally, we were going to have it this week, but obviously Roger isn't here, so we're postponing it a week. And after church next week, we are in the upper room going to have an interest meeting about the Severance Church plant. All right, let's move on to the international piece. And we are, just as we have done for many years through this missions campaign, continuing to support those who are elsewhere working on that frontier of the gospel. And we have several people that have been really raised up within this church and who are now somewhere else, across the ocean often, or preparing to go across the ocean. And the passage that I'll share here is Matthew 28, of course, the Great Commission, and obviously this is a very, very key building block in our philosophy of missions. And I'll read it, but of course we're going to highlight those couple of orange words right there in the middle. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." It is interesting that he adds those words, all nations. Jesus very easily could have said, "Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit." But instead he says all nations. Because he's saying that it's not only making disciples of individuals, but it's also working to ensure that there is a gospel witness in every people group. It's crossing cultural barriers to make sure that that message is available to people. And so we must make disciples in our local and regional context, but we also must consider how that message can leap across those cultural barriers and get to where it isn't right now. And so we are just really thrilled that there have been a number of people that have responded to that call and have been willing to go. And to go to often some really, really difficult places. And so there are several that we're going to try to support through this missions campaign, but we're going to have two of them that are here, that are in town right now, share with us this morning. And the first one is going to be Dusty Land. So Dusty, you can come on up. But Dusty is has spent time in Japan. He actually spent a year in Japan, and he's preparing to go back. He's been raising support to go back long-term to Japan. And so we're going to hear from Dusty now.
I have some notes, so bear with me. I don't really like speaking in front of people, but it amazes me how God uses nervous, weak people for his glory in all nations. And so, my name is Dusty, a worker in Japan. And I've been a part of Summit View for roughly 10 years now. And being a part of this community, I have learned so much about God's heart for the lost and for the nations. And so God really put Japan on my heart in 2015. And every time I've been there, just compassion grows for the Japanese people. As you may have heard many times, Japan is less than 1% Christian, the second largest unreached people group in the world, a very high suicide rate. And so there's a lot of work to be done, but God is working there. And so this last year, 2019, 2020, I spent roughly 15 months in Japan learning the language and working with a community of missionaries called No Place Left. And our mission is, our vision is to see Japan reached until there's no place left. We also want to help Japanese believers to really own the Great Commission and to reach out to their community, to other prefectures within Japan, and eventually my dream is kind of send them to other nations that are not reached. Like, oh, there's no place left in Japan to work. Let's send them to other nations. And so, I am back in the States, obviously, raising support and preparing to go back to Japan long term. And so right now the borders of Japan are unfortunately closed due to COVID. So I'm just kind of waiting around sitting, just kidding. I'm actually brushing up on my language, Japanese language, and working on No Place Left kind of lessons and trainings online. And so that when I do eventually land in Japan, I can just hit the ground running and go for it. And so I appreciate all of your support and your prayers, especially in this time of waiting. And yes, thanks for listening.
All right. All right, we're going to have one other person share about the nations here. Before that person comes up, though, I want to warn those of you watching on the live stream right now where you're We're actually going to pause the live stream and the recording just because the place that this person is working in is a little more sensitive. And so you're going to just see a slide there on the live stream, or if you're watching this recording. So let's put that up there now. You can start the live stream back up. Okay, well, we are my faith is stirred by these people who are willing to go to some of these places that are pretty obscure, that are hard, and yet laborers are needed. Now, as we wrap up this morning, I'm going to share another couple of verses here and let you know of some things that are coming up. But again, we really want to emphasize throughout these weeks that this is a whole church effort. We've heard from people today that are taking steps of faith that often are a little risky, but our hope is that we all feel like our faith is being drawn into this, and that we can together unite in one spirit. One of the ways that we do that is, of course, through prayer. And this is Matthew 9:37-38. He said that then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And so we want to pray for that harvest field. And so we're going to do that. One way we're going to do that is just through a simple prayer meeting next week, next Sunday evening. It's just going to be over Zoom, so we're going to have a virtual prayer meeting. But we would love for you to join us for this. Just set aside next Sunday evening from 7 to 8, and we're going to pray for a lot of these initiatives here. And so join us there. But of course, we're going to be praying much more than that. We'd like to really encourage small group leaders to be praying during your small group meetings and again just crying out to God for that harvest field. One other quick announcement, really, and this is a ways off. This is in July, and so you'll hear more about it later on. But we're taking advantage of some training offered by an organization called All Nations, and they have this little training. It's got Friday night and part of a Saturday day. It's called Senders University, and it's really to train not just missionaries, but it's to train senders. Again, this is what we're emphasizing. We need to be senders. It's a whole church thing, and we are supporting these people, certainly financially, but also relationally and prayerfully. And I think this training will help us to just understand how to do that well. So watch for details coming up. But we're gonna close actually with one more song. So band, you can come on up here. But we would just like to really challenge all of you over the next 2 weeks. Again, we're going to go two more Sundays in this missions campaign. You've heard a lot today about some of the specifics and some of the heart behind these different initiatives. But we would just love for you to bring your heart as well, and to begin to consider, okay, what role are you playing in this? And again, certainly that could be a financial role, but we would hope it'd be even more than that. And that together as a church, we are uniting as one body in order to send and start that process that is lined out in Romans chapter 10 that results in salvation. So why don't you just stand and we'll sing one more song.